Well, I have a very important thing for you to know. You may or may not know this, but if you didn't know this, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. Now, I do need you to repeat this one for me so that I know you hear me and we hear each other. Maybe look somebody in the eyes, dead center, look them dead serious, give them a big old smile and tell them God has a plan for your life. Come on now. Oh yeah. God has a plan for your life. We've been talking this series, Unfazed, hashtag Unfazed. It's been a whole series going through 8 competencies for a disciple. This is kind of the secret sauce behind our series, our discipleship courses, the things that we do, what we teach around here. The secret sauce behind it, these 8 competencies are all woven into that. Even our school here now, these 8 competencies are going to be woven into our chapels, our programs, our Bible classes. This one tonight is an important one. It's our last one. It's number 8. It's the competency of knowing this, that you are pursuing God's calling on your life. That you recognize and understand that there is a call, a God-given destiny for your life. Now, I can't tell you all the scriptures. I have a bunch of them in my notes. I'm not going to read them all to you. But the Bible from Genesis all the way through to the very end explains something. That there is nothing happenstance in creation, including your life. And that, opposed to popular opinion from some teachers out there in some of your schools, you are not an accident. Some of you know that. But realize this, apart from your home and maybe church, there's nowhere else in our culture today where you're going to hear a message that you are not an accident, that you are an on purpose. Say that, I'm an on purpose. You are an on purpose. In fact, the Bible literally says that you have gifts, that you have certain passions, you have certain abilities, you have certain things, personalities that are unique and special to you that are not the same of anybody else on planet Earth, experiences and testimonies that are shaping your life. The course that God has for you is a unique course, but it's His course for your life. God has a plan for your life. And that plan encompasses all of the experiences that you're going to experience, the things that are going on, the hard times and the good times. None of them are wasted because you are not an accident. Instead, very clearly, you are an on purpose. Do you hear me? Lift a hand if you hear me out there. I see you in the back. Come on now. God has a plan for your life. The biggest win behind this school is giving us more opportunity to help prepare kids for God's calling on their life. And out of that, the career that God has for them. But we have more opportunities to do that. We've got our times here at church. You have the biggest opportunity in your home in reminding your kids every day that God has a plan for their life. That they're not here by accident. They're actually here on purpose. And not only reminding them of that, but that what this is about is pushing them toward that. That reality that everything about who they are, God knows it. He put it in them, and He is the one who will bring it out of them. As Ephesians chapter 2 says, the good works were prepared in advance for us to actually walk in them. We're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He actually took time. You're His masterpiece, is a better translation of workmanship. You are His handcrafted, unique, one-of-a-kind creation, and God has a plan for us. He's actually got works that He's prepared in advance for us to do. So, question is, as you turn to Mark chapter 8, the question is, what is determining your calling in life? What determines your calling in life? Right now, as you consider the pursuits, where you're headed, what's going on, what is it that's determining your calling in life? In Mark chapter 8, Jesus has a conversation. It's recorded in Matthew 16. It's also in Luke chapter 9. If you want to read it in other places to hear kind of the whole color commentary on this story. But in this passage, Jesus shares some insights about this particular concept, this truth for a disciple of Jesus, for every one of us. He shares it in a unique way that the Lord kind of directed me here. We've had series on this. We've got a boatload of series actually to come. This is one of our main focus this year is communicating this and helping us understand and discover our gifts, how God has uniquely wired you, the gifts of the Father in Romans 11, the gifts of the Son in Ephesians chapter 4. These are places we're going to be as the year goes on. But I just want this particular message, this particular point, I want to look at what Jesus says about it in Mark chapter 8. We're going to pick it up in verse 31. I'm going to ask you a question before we read it. How many of you think that maybe God has thoughts about your life that are different than your thoughts about your life? Just curious. Now, parents, how many of you think that God might have thoughts for your kids that are different than your thoughts for your kids? So, it's a really big deal, right? To kind of get in line with his thoughts. What's in his mind? What's his road, his path? And oftentimes, his road and his path for our lives are not the way that we would want to go about things. And probably today, if I'm preaching God's word in any effective way, you'll probably get mad at me. If you don't get mad at me at any point in the message tonight, it's probably not a very good message. Because in Orange County, this particular way that we go about this probably gets challenged massively. Our perspective as parents, what we are willing or not willing to let our kids deal with in life, the way that if we were to map out a road for them, it probably wouldn't look a lot like the road Jesus is describing that he's about to walk down, that he tells us then we got to follow. And so I say that honestly, that if you don't get upset at least a little bit with the message, it's probably not getting through. It's intellectual. It's not hitting the emotions yet because it should challenge. It challenges me as a dad big time. Big time. In fact, I'll share one of the stories there about how this challenged us in our parenting. Verse 31, I want to talk about what he has in mind. If we're going to get this concept, we've got to begin to understand what he has in mind. In verse 31, it says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man, meaning himself, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. And he said this plainly, meaning he said it in a way that they actually understood what he was saying. He had said this many times. They missed it many times. They didn't quite understand what he was saying. I'm going to die. I'm going to go down this road. Here's what's going to happen when we get to Jerusalem. But this time, Peter actually understood. That's what he means by he said this plainly. So Peter takes him aside and he began to rebuke him. And he said, and turning to seeing the disciples, by the way, when he rebuked him, it's recorded in Matthew. He says, not so, Lord, this will never happen to you. Not going to happen. Not on my watch. Whatever you just said, that road, not going to happen. That's what he said to him. And so Jesus takes Peter, turning, seeing his disciples. He rebuked Peter, but listen to what he said. Get behind me, Satan. Now, if there's anything you never want said to you is Satan. No one wants to be called that, I'm pretty sure. But get behind me, Satan. So, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Get behind me, Satan. You're not setting your mind on the things of God. You're setting your mind on the things of man. And this is the beginning of the conversation he's having with them. What God has in mind. He uses three words that none of us would ever want for any of our family. Are you with me? Here they are. The Son of Man must suffer many things. Now, who likes suffering? Anybody? I don't think so. None of us like suffering. And he's going to be rejected. Now, I'm telling you, if you could spare somebody you love the pain of rejection, tell me, parents, you would not do everything you can on planet Earth to save that from your kids or from your spouse. The pain of rejection is not a fun pain. And then he says, and be killed. And that is never, ever fun. Am I right? Never fun. But this is what he says. This is the road I'm going to walk down. He says, my life actually has a destiny and a purpose. I am not here by happenstance. I'm an on purpose too. And because I'm here on purpose, I'm on mission, there is a particular thing. My life is going to have significance. It's going to impact people. It's going to transform the whole world, all of creation, and your life is going to have significance. That the plan God has for you, the road, the destiny he's got for your life, is a life that leads to significance. I mean, really being a blessing to people in this world. That's the road. He's got it for you. He's got it for your kids. But that road isn't always fun. And he uses words that describe like a road, suffering, rejection, that this is the kind of stuff I'm about to deal with. And ultimately, I'm going to give it all. And then he ends this with a really cool phrase in that sentence, right? And then rise again. Now, rise again, we can get all behind that one. Am I right? Come on now. We can get behind rise again. Like, elevate my kids on top of the world. What parent doesn't want to see their kid having those moments when they are on top of the world? Are you with me? Are you sure? Yeah. Come on, parents. Yeah. Don't get upset yet. The next one will get you even more upset. Don't worry, we'll get there. But on top of the world. Listen, I'm going to rise again. It's going to happen. This is the road that's coming. Now, you're Peter. Peter loves Jesus. Peter cares about Jesus. And Peter has some pride in the game. I'm here. So that's not going to happen to you. Dad's around. Mom's around. We're going to take care of you. You're not going to deal with stuff in this world. So Peter rebukes him. And he rebukes him publicly. And so Jesus has to turn to him publicly in front of all the other disciples and address the moment. Now, it seems a little melodramatic. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, that might seem like an overreaction to all of us. And Jesus was not calling Peter Satan. Let's just get this right. Jesus was addressing the spirit behind the words that he just shared. As simple as it could be. Just as simple as it could be, this will never happen to you. He says, "Get behind me, Satan." Why? Matthew tells us these words too in 16. "You are a hindrance to me." That thinking that I don't have to suffer, I won't have to experience rejection from men, I don't have a hard road full of surrender and self-sacrifice that is before me, before I'm raised up into glory, before my life hits the significance it was created for, the thinking that I don't have to deal with that in order to get that, that is not what God's mind is about. That's not what's in God's mind. That's in the mind of men. That is how we, that's what we pursue. That is how you and I naturally think for our kids. I don't want them to have to deal with any crud in life. In fact, I'm going to work my butt off to make sure they don't have to deal with any crud in life. Anybody ever been there with me? I'm going to protect you. I'm going to keep you from the bullies. I'm going to keep you from somebody noticing that maybe you're standing out a little bit. Do you have to like wear a Christian t-shirt? Like, let's keep it down a little bit. We don't want anybody to see that. Do you have to like be labeled as a believer in Jesus? Like, come on, be careful. You got to be wise about how you say that stuff. What do you know? You know that there's a good chance they might experience some rejection. They might get from somebody else a weird look. Their job, your road, the road you're on. Satan wants nothing more than to put stumbling blocks and hindrances in your life and in your kids' life. When it comes to God's destiny and call in your life, the enemy wants nothing more than to put the kind of stumbling blocks and hindrances in front of you that will keep you from the significance that you were destined for. The significance that your life is intended for. They come in the form of these things. They come in the form of man's pursuits. What is man after? What are we chasing now? What are we pursuing? They come in the form of our priorities and our values. There is a value set in Orange County that is different often than the kingdom of God and God's value set. That's why I talk about what is in God's mind. That is so important for us to gather as we understand this. It's interesting how we begin to pursue these things for our own families, our own kids. I remember one summer we were trying to figure out. Now, here's how I want you to understand this. We make all kinds of choices and decisions about, whether or not our kids are going to have to go to church today or not go to church today, and whether or not they're going to be at camp or they are going to have a sports thing. And that those things, this is not a judgment on never miss Sunday morning service and all of that. It's not that. Are you with me? We're not having that conversation. But we did realize there was a particular summer that our oldest son really wanted to go to church camp. He really wanted to go to camp. Mom and Dad really wanted to make sure he was going to make this high school team and be in a good position to play. Are you with me? Anybody ever been here before? And we're like, I don't think so. And sometimes and oftentimes, either for the good or for the bad, we pull the card of commitment and work hard and all that stuff and fun later and, you know, those kinds of things. And we wrestled over this because it was like, camp, like that's a big deal too. We don't want to miss camp, all those things. And it was funny because we went so around, but here's where we landed. Finally, one moment, and we were just discussing it for a couple of days, and finally, all of a sudden, the picture got clear. And the picture that the question that he asked is, what is your end game? What's the bigger goal? That your kid makes it out of high school loving Jesus, or he makes it out of high school playing baseball? And all of a sudden, it got really clear really fast because the end picture put the priorities back in play. Oh no, my one job as a dad is to make sure my kid gets out of high school loving Jesus. If I can get that accomplished, I don't care if he plays, doesn't play, whatever else, God, you'll take care of him. But I needed that calibration. Parents, how are we doing? How are you doing today? What's the number one thing for you? How your kids, this, that, how you, this, that, what are you pursuing? That is the mind of God. Like getting our hearts around that is so big if we're going to pursue God's calling. And then he goes on to talk about this road that's less traveled in verse 34, calling the crowd to him and his disciples. He said to them, if anyone would come after me, you guys may have heard this phrase before. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. He talks about this road less traveled. And three words that pop up right there, deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Three terms that are powerfully packed with meaning. Don't miss it. He says, let him deny himself. Denying ourselves entails letting go of earthly security and selfish desires. Ultimately, not a conversation we have with ourselves or our kids that often. Am I right or am I wrong? Maybe you do. But earthly securities, that's a pretty common thing. It's a pretty common thought. I want to secure. I want to be set. I want these things to be. And for my kids, I want earthly securities. Selfish desires, certain things I want. Why should I say no? There's no reason for me to say no. I want that. I'm going to go after that. I'm going to pursue that. I'm going to get that. And listen, I'm not saying those things are right or wrong. He's just saying this road, if you're going to follow me, this road requires a conversation, many things that you're probably going to have to lay down along the way. Security being one of them. Your desires versus my desires will be a conversation along this road. Are you still in? Are you still in? And not only that, he says, and take up your cross. Taking up our cross is a further elaboration of this idea of denying self, meaning both a willingness to give our lives and to endure whatever social pressure, whatever ostracization, whatever persecution is associating with identifying with Christ. And guys, that will only be on the rise in our culture today, only on the rise. We know around the world, a lot of places I've been, where getting baptized is a big, big deal. Saying yes to Jesus is a big, big deal. In some countries, yes. You say yes to Jesus and your family is obligated to take your life. So you run for your life. In some countries, to go down and be baptized in the river means look over your shoulder because there could be an angry mob here in a second to end your life. Where it actually means people notice. Now for us, for you and I, ostracization, social pressure, those kinds of things are on the rise, they're not on the decline. Are you hearing me? And he's talking about this. Take up your cross. The idea, the picture that they all saw when Jesus said that was the picture you read when you see Jesus carrying his cross. They had seen it over and over again. Somebody carrying a cross, everybody watching him going down to wherever he's going to be placed on the cross. And everybody along the way watched him, laughed at him, looked at him, made judgments about why he's carrying the cross, what's going on, and all of that pressure. And he said, listen, the road for your life, if you're going to live out your calling, is a road that says, listen, whether people are watching me, laughing or not, I am going to walk and identify my life with Christ, and I won't be embarrassed. That's the road. This is discipleship. This is what Christianity is. This is the invitation for us. But he puts that picture there. And then lastly, he paints this picture, and follow me, and follow me. More than a confessing belief, it means taking the same road of self-denial and personal sacrifice daily. Take up your cross daily, it says in Matthew. Peter and all the others would have to consider now the type of road that Jesus was putting in front of them. They had a different picture for their lives. They had a different picture for Jesus' life, of how this would play out, of what the road would actually look like. And now they're having to deal with a totally different picture of the type of road that their destiny and their calling would run on. A different picture. Jesus was demolishing this expectation of glory from man, the rise again side. He was demolishing that picture. If they had it in their mind, following Jesus would be easy. The road of significance, the call of God on your life would be simple, and everybody would agree with it, and it would be the easy road, and people would applaud you along the way. If you had any of those thoughts, he just blew them up right there in Mark chapter 8. He just blew them up. And he said, it's not that way. The road won't be so easy. Think about these people for a minute. Think about Esther. We read her story. She became queen. She saved her people. Pretty amazing. Think about Ruth. Ruth was not Jewish. She was a Moabite. But she wanted to take care of her mother-in-law. She felt called to take care of her mother-in-law. And that brought about a redemption to her family's legacy, and actually brought her into the very line. She was the grandmother, the great-grandmother of King David, bringing him into the world. Think about Mary for a minute. Mary called to be the mother, the earthly mother of Jesus, to bring the Son of God into the world. But every one of those stories, while we look at the end result, woohoo, Esther's queen, woohoo, Ruth, she marries a wealthy guy. It all works out really good for her, right? Mary, mother of Jesus. Everybody's like, Mother Mary. They even pray to her these days, right? Come on. Highly exalted. Every one of those stories, those gals dealt with tremendous social pressure, rejection by people, hardship, suffering, personal sacrifice, every one of them. We just read their story in hindsight, but the significance of their lives, like so many others, that is the road. What if you were Mary's parents and she told you all that stuff? The angel came to me, mom and dad, and this and that, but you're engaged to Joseph. What will Joseph say? Do you understand what all of our neighbors will say? Do you understand? Nobody's going to believe you. They're not going to understand that. How are you? This is not going to work out. Please don't. Your grandmother won't be able to take it. She's got a weak heart. You're probably going to end it. Do you understand? I mean, just like for a moment here, think about all these folks and what they had to deal with. So interesting. The seed, the rose, the beautiful flowers, the seeds, they always have to die before whatever they were created to be comes to life. Same way Jesus says, if you want to gain your life, you lose it. If you want to know significance and you want to experience the plan of God for your life and what it means, here is the road. It's going to require taking up your cross daily and following me. It's going to require denying yourself, letting go of certain securities in this world. It's going to require you saying, I'm following the road that Jesus has put before me. Because even in the hardships and in the suffering, that is where God's going to build my story. That is where God's going to begin to shape how I'm going to impact people's lives. The most impactful people probably in your lives and others' lives are people who have dealt with following Jesus and dealing with the hard stuff, and they got something to say. Am I right? They got something to say. You care about what they have to say because they've walked the road. But this last statement in this paragraph, this last statement is the picture. It's the point. It's what brings it all together. It's what, as a parent, it's like, okay, pause. This is what I'm after. As a son, as a child of God, it's like, pause. This is discipleship. This is what I'm after. And I'm driven by eternity. He says these words, for what does it profit a man, a woman, to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. He paints a picture. This is what we're after. This is the end point. This is the goal. Like, this is the picture of what is actually coming. This is what drove the writers of your Bible, my Bible. This is what drove the New Testament church. This is why they endured the crud they endured. This is why we're willing to take a road that isn't easy, the unthinkable, the less traveled, the road of denial and taking my cross and all that stuff. This is why. Because this is the picture. This is what is coming. See, the allure of earthly success and security and praise will constantly pull me, a disciple, you, a disciple, off the road that God has called you to. Because it's, wow, that's really what I'd like. I'd rather have that. I'd rather retire at 45. I'd rather have a yacht. I'm not saying if you have a yacht or you retire, that's not the point. But here is the point. There's a plan for your life. God has actually designed you to be significant. And that doesn't mean you're a pastor, but it might. It doesn't mean you're a missionary as far as in some foreign country, but you are a missionary right here, wherever you are. This means God needs lawyers, Christian lawyers, to fight battles for the kingdom. That means he needs Christian police officers to represent him on the police force. This is why he needs Christian businessmen and sports figures to stand up and influence in the right way. But if you have those things without Jesus, you're missing your calling completely. The whole idea is to be God's man, God's woman, who has dealt with, been through, walked through the road that God has put before you, walking it with him in such a way that you have something to say, that people can see your life, your faith is real. It's not Sunday morning stuff. It's real. It's not whatever TV stuff. It's real. And you're not ashamed of the gospel. This is where it gets so real. It all comes down to the picture that really drives you. I have to ask myself this all the time. What's the picture that drives me? The greatest picture in all of Scripture is this picture. I one day, the judgment seat of Christ, to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's my picture. That's in front of me. That's the picture I have in front for my kids. That's all I care. That Jesus says to Luke or to Caleb, well done, good and faithful servant. To my wife, well done, good and faithful servant. There was a call in your life and you lived it out the way I called you to. That is the picture in front of us. He says, I'm going to come. And in that day, let's get the picture for a minute. When Jesus comes in the Father's glory, oh, you just go ahead and say it with me. Oh, like it's going to be bright and shiny, powerful and real. And all the earth will immediately bow their knee. Every arrogant ideal in this world. Every messed up misstep in all, every thought about God that is just whatever is all of a sudden going to get challenged in a moment, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And in that day, you will want to be associated with Jesus. Am I right? I'm going to want to say, I'm with him. And how awesome would it be for him to go, he's with me. Come on now. That's what I'm in it for. What are you in it for? That's the picture Jesus paints. One day the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory with all the holy angels. And those that have been not ashamed, but willing to walk the road with him, he'll say, they're with me. They're with me. They're with me. That's the pursuit, the call of God in our lives. You don't have to be anxious about God's call. You can be urgent about it. You don't have to be anxious about it. As you're walking with God, as you're dealing with life and you're going hand in hand with him and you're discovering these gifts and abilities and your heart is to love him and serve people, you will find your calling will birth out of that. If it's a calling in the church, it'll birth out of that. If it's a calling in the marketplace, it'll birth out of those things. He's put things in you and in me. And he's actually told us what those things are in scripture so we can learn what they are. We can discover them and begin to step in them. But the thing that we all have to decide is if we're willing to walk this road that way, because that is different than the way we walk in Orange County. It's a different road. Rejection, if needed. Suffering, if required. I won't waste any of it. Who wouldn't want to be right now associated with Martin Luther King Jr. and the Civil Rights Movement? Who wouldn't want to be associated with Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier? I'm so proud to be a Dodger, but I just want you to know, like, I'm a big Dodger fan, and it just makes me so proud to say that. Come on, he was on the Dodgers. Come on now. Come on now, you feel me? Come on now. You all wish you were Dodger fans right about now. But here's the deal. We would love to be associated with, but most of us would not love to deal with the H-E double hockey sticks that both of them had to deal with. Because they had to deal with stuff. Suffering, rejection. They dealt with those things. That wasn't the fun part of the road that God marked out for their life, but they lived lives that were significant. And I'm just telling you today, God has a significant life for you. A life that blesses people, touches people, opens doors for other people. A life that transforms families, people's lives. A life that whatever builds new businesses, builds new schools, employs people, but leads people to Jesus and expresses his love to them. God has a significant life for you. So let's go bigger than Orange County. Get a good education, get into a good school, get a good job and live the good life. Can we just say there's something so much bigger than that? And as parents, as grandparents, and as kids, to just say, okay, Lord, early on, I'm willing, I want to, I'm maybe a little afraid of the road, but I'm willing to walk this road with you, because that, at the end of the day, is the invitation of a disciple, of discipleship. There's no lesser version of it. There's no lesser version of Christianity. That's actually what Jesus has for you and me. And so we discover that. We're after it. Question tonight is, are you after that? Do you want that? Are you for that? Are you challenged in these areas? Where are you tonight? You're not an accident. You're created by God for something significant. You're not an accident. God has a plan for your life, but you'll never know it apart from God, apart from a relationship with God. There's no other way. You cannot know the plan that he's created for you without a relationship with the Creator. I'd love to invite you to bow your heads with me for a moment just so I can pray. Listen, if You just need to come back on this message. One of those moments like, okay, God, you've recalibrated me. Then just right where you're at, just say, Jesus, I hear you. I want that for my kids. I want that for my own life. So show me where I'm Orange County so that I can get back to kingdom. I want to be kingdom in the way that we live, in the road that we walk, in the way that we lead, in the way that we love, in the way that I'm willing to walk with you. But I want to pray for those tonight. If you need a relationship with the God who created you, it is made possible through Jesus Christ, the Son, who came and opened a way for your sins to be forgiven and for you to walk with God and become everything he created you to be. And so with everybody's head bowed, their eyes closed, and for you who are watching online, right where you're at, if you need to receive Jesus, just lift a hand and I'm gonna pray with you. I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm not gonna ask anybody to come forward. If you're online, I'm just gonna pray with you and lead you in a prayer. But if you need to receive Jesus tonight, just lift a hand. If you wanna have a relationship with God, awesome, then do this with me. Just repeat this. Everybody repeat it after me. Dear Jesus, I hear you tonight. You're drawing me into a relationship with you. And I'm saying yes to you. And yes to your road for my life. And all that you have for me. I want my life to count. So Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. And take me into your family. I want to follow you. Amen. Amen. And if you've ever been like me, ever been a little bit like, I'm a little bashful. It's a little hard for me to, maybe not so much now, but there were seasons in my life. There were seasons in my life. High school was hard for me. I don't know about anybody else. High school was hard for me to represent Jesus well, to stand with him. Not to be obnoxious, no one's asking anybody to be a jerk about your relationship with Jesus, or annoying for that matter. Jesus isn't into that. But there are times when you just stand and say, this is who I am. And this is why I don't, and this is why I'm coming, this is why I'm not. Hey, come with me. Hey, can I pray with you? Those kinds of things, man, that was hard for me. And here's what I know, the Holy Spirit will help us. He'll help you if you need help. You say, empower me, give me boldness. I just want to rep you well. I just want to represent you well and the road you have for my life, whatever it is I'm in. God is with you. He loves you. He's about as practical as can be about the things we're dealing with in life. Amen.